Mr. Shoemaker. Good afternoon, everyone. It is good to have everybody here, the guests we have. We appreciate that. You know, we think about that last song we just sung, and it's encouraging to think, when you think about the words of that song, you know, you think about where we are in today's society, in the world today, you know, everything that's happened. Maybe the trials and the tragedies. You know, when you think about tragedies, a lot of times we go straight back to 9/11. But there's a lot of tragedies that's happened that has to happen, has to lead us to where we are today. You know, the Oklahoma, you know, can't forget about that one, Columbine. But it goes on back. You know, think of one of the first terrorist attack. Think about this. Happened in the Garden of Eden when Satan attacked our Christianity. You know, right from the beginning, he was out to get us. And he's not going to give up until it's over. So, now that I've set some gloom and doom on you, I want to encourage you. So today, what I'd like to talk about is how all of us, as Christians, can face and live through positive prophecies for the end time. And we're coming close to them stages in our lives. So I've called it Positive Prophecies for End Time Christians. So to get started, let's go ahead and turn to Daniel. We'll start in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. We'll read a few verses here, but we'll start in verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now let's drop down to verse 9. And he said, the angel to Daniel, he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Verse 10. Many shall be purified. Now let's stop right there for just a minute. Many shall be purified. You know, if we look back on the history of the church, and in just the last handful of years especially, we can see this purification taking place. Look at the church individually, the members, the ministers, especially since 1995, when we all had to make a decision. We've gone through some pretty tough trials, and there's more that lie ahead of us. But with God and through God, we can handle these trials and we can have positive outcomes of these trials. You know, it's like Malachi says, the sons of Levi went through fiery trials, and we will too. You know, we are all in this together. You know, we're all part of the church, part of God's work. Let's go ahead and continue verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. Now, we've talked about understand a couple times here. I want to focus on the last part of this verse 10. But the wise shall understand. You know, at the time of the end and the fulfillment of these prophecies that we see here in Daniel, God says the wise will understand. And he's talking about end time events that we're facing now in this day and age. So it's very important to know who are the wise, because the wise will understand. It's a very important statement. Sometimes we just read over it, the wise will understand, and we kind of take it for granted. But we have to think about this, the wise. You know, are we the wise? Who are the wise? Hold your place here in Daniel, because we'll come back. But let's look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119. You know, again, we ask, who are the wise that's going to understand the events that's happening, that's going to happen, and take place in Jerusalem and around the world? And who's going to be the wise that warn the people about these events? Psalm 119, I want to read verses 97 through 99. David wrote here, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Mr. Brethren, the wise are those who obey God and keep His commandments. And again, as we look back in the last few years, or last 20 and 30 years, how many have slipped away and are not with us anymore? And if you could actually put a number to it, it'd be pretty staggering. And it's not because that God didn't call them at one time, but as we'll go on and see, it's because that if we're not careful, we all can fall into that boat and become lukewarm. We have to understand the wisdom that God has laid out for us. We have to grow in His knowledge and wisdom and have this understanding. We don't want to slip away by any means. We have to hold true to the commandments, all of God's commandments, and we have to hold true to His Sabbaths, His holy days. Everything that He represents and He pictures, it's our life, and we're a part of this. And as I said before, we're all in this together. So, you know, if you do a word study on the Sabbath and everything that ties into keeping God's Sabbath and His commandments, you do your word study far enough, you're going to come into the idea and realization that it goes to the fear of God. But it's the positive fear that we've talked about before. We have to have the positive, godly fear. And as we have this appropriate fear, it'll help us to keep His commandments and stay true to His word. It'll actually make us, if we're willing to take part of it. And I think we are. You know, that we're all here. And we're here for a reason. And it's encouraging to look around and see each other here every Sabbath, every holy day. It helps build us, you know, a strong family unit. And we are that. We're God's family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So the wise will have understanding and will grow in understanding. You know, you can never have too much understanding. You know, we graduate from high school, we graduate from college, but our learning is far from over. You can never have too much understanding and too much learning. So the important point that I want to make in this part of this prophecy about the end time is that the wise will understand, they shall understand all of what God has set before them, the events to come. They'll be able to know and discern good from evil and put this into our lives. And as we do this, we can support each other, we can grow from each other, and we can teach not just ourselves, but everybody that we come in contact with. It's a very important part of our understanding. So, how many of us can say, like David said in Psalms here, "Oh, how I love your law"? Maybe we never thought about it, and maybe we have thought about it. I certainly hope we have. But when we first come into the church, we might not really consider, you know, the law, all of God's laws, and how we love them. Yeah, we know that these are the laws, and we're supposed to learn to keep these laws and keep these commandments, and this is what we're supposed to do. But it goes beyond that. It's not just doing it because it's here. It's doing it because it's in our hearts, and we actually love it. We want to do this. We want to get up every day, and we want to keep God's law. And that's the point we have to come to. And again, we are. We're coming to that point. So let's go back to chapter 11 of Daniel. Chapter 11 here, and we'll begin reading in verse 31. The scripture here makes it clear that those who obey God and the ones that continue to keep His commandments, the true Sabbath, the holy days, and all of His precepts, it makes it clear that they are the wise. And they are the ones who will have understanding and keep growing in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, the context here of this chapter 31 here, or chapter 11 of verse of Daniel here, is talking about the king of the north and the king of the south. And here in verse 31, we're going to pick it up here. It's more focused on the king of the north. Verse 31. And forces shall be mustered by him, the king of the north, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. You know, Israel today, and Jerusalem especially, it's a fortified city. And it's where the temple will be reconstructed, and parts, at least part of it, and the sacrifices will be reinstituted. And this is happening, you know, they're, as we talked about before, they're in a process of getting all this together. And we're not over there, so we don't see it on a daily basis. But it is happening. Things are falling in place. And it's at a state where it could happen just like that. So that's all the more reason for us to be ready. We have to dig into this and get ready, be prepared. And it says here that they will take away the daily sacrifices. The invasion from these armies from the north, from the king of the north, he's going to unite in power with a religious leader, a religious power, and they're going to take away these sacrifices, and they're going to set in place the abomination of desolation. And you can see that in the last part of verse 31 there. So they shall take away the daily sacrifices and the place there, the abomination of desolation. Let's read verse 32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people, notice this now, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now we'll read on a few more verses. I will come back to this last half of verse 32 in just a minute. Verse 33. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many days they shall fall by the sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. You know, unfortunately, some of God's people will fall, and that's something that we have to be aware of. Verse 34 here. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. Or my margin here says flattery. You know, there's going to be a lot of people playing games at this time. And we see this in the news and in world history. You see the games that the politicians play and the world leaders play. And this is going to be going on and increasing and getting stronger. And we have to be aware of what is going on there. And some people use flattery to get what they want. I'm sure we all seen this. They use flattery to get what they want, go where they want, and do what they want. It's their way of getting power and control. And it's going to continue to happen. And it's going to be happening on a stronger basis. Again, we have to be aware of this. Verse 35. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white. You know, God will continue to work with his people, all of his people, until the very end. And that's encouraging. He's not going to let up on us. He's not going to give up on us. He's going to be there and work with us all, no matter where we are, till the very end, as long as we don't turn from him. Now let's go back to the last half of verse 32 that we talked about. I want to emphasize here the positive part about prophecies for Christians in the end time. Verse 32, the last half. The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now the Amplified Bible says great exploits for God. So they'll be doing this on God's behalf. And that's what it means. You know, that's what it's saying here. So, what does it mean to know God? We have to look at that and make sure that we fall in this category. And if we don't, see how we can get in this category. Because obviously, as verse 32 said, we want to know God. We want him to know us. So what does it mean to know God? Again, it's very important to know and have the understanding of this. You know, the people who know God are going to be the people who are strong, who get stronger, who grow in wisdom and understanding. See, it all kind of ties together. And we definitely want to be a part of that. And again, we are. We're here, and we're moving forward with the truth. We are preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. But let's take a look here. Again, you might want to kind of hold your place here, but go to 1 John chapter 2. I'm sure this is a scripture that most of us know well, but it doesn't hurt to take a look at it, kind of refreshing. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, and this is how. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Yeah, that's a pretty strong statement. And we do not want to be guilty of this statement. This is how we know him, is if we keep his commandments. And that's a part of it. We keep his commandments. His commandments lead us to the Sabbath and the holy days. And again, as I said, it all builds. And this is what we want to do. We want to build on this religion, on God's truth. And we want to get stronger. We want to grow. We want to help each other. And we can do this. You know, it's very clear, again, that those who know God, and we all want to be accused of this, those who know God are the ones obeying him in every aspect of our lives. That's not to say we're not going to mess up along the way, because we will. We're human, and we're going to trip and fall once in a while. But the fact of the matter is, we have the opportunity to repent. And that is our saving point. If we mess up, we repent. We ask that God will help us not do it again, and we move on. We don't bring up the past. God forgets the past, and he expects us to. So that's what we have to do. We have to keep, the old saying, keep on keeping on. That's what we have to do. As we do this, we will become stronger. Stronger in the faith and stronger in, you know, the complete will of Jesus Christ and God the Father. So, obeying God has a direct impact on our lives. It helps us to increase everything that we do on a physical basis. It develops us in faith. It develops us in our courage. You know, it takes a lot of courage to live in today's society. You know, we go out on the street and we have no idea what's going to happen around the corner. You just don't know. It could be any number of things. But with God's help, with God's truth in us, it gives us a little bit of peace. It gives us a lot of peace, actually, that we know that we have the courage and the faith to go on and do what God wants us to do. And we can do this. Again, we work off of each other. We read and we study, we pray, and we fellowship. We build off of each other. I'm sure that a lot of us have seen, well, we've all seen programs on TV or heard radio programs, interviews with maybe just the average person on the street. And they talk about the topic maybe end time events, you know, what's happening, the terrorist attacks, you know, riots in the streets, just whatever it is. And these people are absolutely frantic. You know, they can hardly contain themselves in talking about this. And it is sad. It's sad to think that. And we need to do our best to keep this in mind, that there's a very, very good chance that these people do not know God. And it's sad, but it's true. When you don't know God, God does not know you. That inner peace that he gives you, the inner confidence, it's his Holy Spirit. It's not there. And when it's not there, we all would have fear of everything. You know, if you let your mind go and listen to these people talk, you would never come out of your house. You definitely wouldn't. You probably wouldn't get out of bed. But you know, we have the encouragement from God to know that there's more. You know, the things have to come to pass, and they will come to pass. But there's more. You know, God gives us, like I said, this inner confidence in our bodies, in our minds, to know and understand his way. And the more we understand, the more we know, the more we're going to understand, and the more we're going to know. It builds on itself. And it's all inspired by God. Let's turn back to Revelation. Let's look at another positive prophecy here. Revelation chapter 11. We'll read a few scriptures here, but we'll start in verse 3. Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, again, that's three and a half years. You know, this verse, just above that in verse 2, it talks about the time when the Gentiles will have taken over the city again. And they'll be ruling the city and controlling it. And then, obviously, they'll tread it down. And it says in verse 2, they'll tread it down for 42 months. Make sure I get that right. Yeah, it's another 3.5 years is what it is. And that's when the two witnesses will be brought to light. And let's look in verse 4. Verse 4 and 5. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. Imagine that, if you will. You know, this kind of power that God is going to give to His two people that's going to serve Him. They're there to serve Him as part of the prophecy. And He's going to give them this unimaginable power to do these miracles, to do things that, had we not known about the truth, knowing what's going to happen, it would probably scare all of us. It's going to be amazing. Let's go on in last half, verse 5 and 6 here. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These, the witnesses here, these have power to shut heaven so no rain will fall in the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over water to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. So he's given them basically unlimited power to do what they need to do to serve him. And to show the people that does not have the truth or understand the truth or even want the truth, to show them that this God is the God of all gods. He is the only one, and He is the true power. So again, imagine that. You know, we've known about the two witnesses. We've studied them for years and years. And a lot of you probably remember back when Pasadena was headquarters. They used to have a lot of people come in and say, "We're the two witnesses." Well, fortunately, we had the people to look through and discern good from bad. And unfortunately for them, they were just self-proclaimed witnesses. They were not sent by God. But you know, the two witnesses, they are a real thing. They do exist, and they're going to come to light. And they will be used by God, and God will imbue a power in them so real that it's going to be unimaginable. You know, we read about it, but to actually see this, it's going to be one exciting event. Now, we call it exciting. Other people might call it very fearful and scary. But we know whose side they're on, and we're on the same side, and that's encouraging. You know, we can make guesses who the two witnesses may be. I've heard people say anywhere from Elijah to Moses to Mr. Armstrong, Garner Tan Armstrong. They just name them. God will tell us who the witnesses are when it's time for us to know. And we have to be okay with that. As we read on about the two witnesses, we do know that God will allow them to be killed. But again, it's not a bad thing. It sounds like it's a bad thing, but as we go through this, we'll see that's not a bad thing. But as these two witnesses are killed, all the nations over there that are scared to death of this power of God, they're going to be tickled to death. They're going to be happy. It's going to be a party for 3.5 days until reality sets in. We read verse 11, we'll see what we're talking about. Verse 11. Now after the 3.5 days, talking about they that are dead, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet. Now think about that. You've got these nations that are partying in the streets, just proclaiming probably all kinds of national holidays now, that these two witnesses are dead. These men of the God are dead. They're gone. We don't have to worry about them. They're laying in the street. Who knows what they're doing to them? You know, kicking them, dragging them, whatever they're doing to them. 3.5 days later, they stand up. They're breathing. They're alive and well. You think that won't turn some heads? You know, we used to think, you know, 25 and 30 years ago, how is the world going to see all this? How can we get this out to the world? Now you have not just your local TV and news stations, not your national news stations, but the internet. Anything that happens live can be broadcast all over the world through satellites, through all digital. So that won't be a problem. It'll be broadcast, and everybody will see what's going on. And it's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be a time that we really should look forward to. it may be a little tough getting there, but when we do get there, it's going to be a good time. Let's finish verse 11 here. And they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And again, as we pointed out, you know, if you're not on God's side, you will have a lot of fear when you see this happening. But when you're on God's side, it's joy. You know, it's excitement. It's very encouraging to see this. It's a totally different ball game. And that's the side that we are on. And we can be happy about that. It's great. There's nothing better. No better side to be on. So, we have to realize that even to the very end, you know, God, He's going to be with all of us. He's going to be using His people to do His work. That's what He's called us to do. He certainly doesn't need us, but He has given us this opportunity. He has called us to use us and to let us do His work through Him. So let's go back, if you will, to Acts. Let's go to Acts 2. Acts 2, and we'll read a couple verses here, starting in verse 17. Acts 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservant and my maidservant, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Again, we see, you know, that God will use whoever He wants to use. He will have them doing whatever He wants them to do. And these people that He's going to have working for Him, doing His work, I think you'll find a common thread through all of them. I think you'll find that these people will definitely be dedicated, humble, faithful servants of God. And again, He's going to use them however He wants. The fact of the matter is that when He pours His Spirit out on these people, they're going to do the job. So I guess that's a question that we need to ask. Are we willing and ready to do the job? And again, I think we are, or we probably wouldn't be here. And that's very encouraging. That's very encouraging. Let's look at verse 19. I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. So here it is, the very end time, but the prophecy is that God is going to pour out His power to His individuals in His church. And that's each and every one of us. We have to hang in there, though. We can't give up. We can't quit. We can't turn away. And as we do this, again, as we talked about, He'll make us stronger. He'll give us more understanding. And He'll protect us. You know, we know Satan is out there. We face this every day. He's out there doing a work. We know that there's terrorists out there, and they're doing a work. What we have to remember is God is out there, and He's doing a work. And the beauty of that is we're on His team. We're doing the work with Him. And if God's with us, who can be against us? We have to remember that. He's going to pour out incredible power on His people in the end time, and when it's time to stand up and do what we have to do. All of and whatever He wants them to do. We have to remember that, because that is us. And it encourages us to think about that. Let's go back to Revelation 3. You know, God is standing ready right now to finish the work. He's ready to get the job done. And He's ready to do it through all the ones that He's called. That's all of us. And Revelation 3 here. This is a scripture that we all are familiar with again. There's nothing new here. This is all that we're talking about today is old. We all have seen it before. We just need to be refreshed once in a while. Revelation 3 here. We'll read verses 8 through 11. This is talking about the Philadelphia church. But it also is prophetic. And we need to look at that side of it because there's a lot of encouragement here. It applies to the very end time. And again, all the people that they call the Philadelphians. Let's go ahead and read here. We'll start in verse 8. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. If you have a little for you have a little strength. And that's true. You know, God's church does have a little strength. We are by no means large in physical membership and bodies. There's a lot of false churches out there that has hundreds, thousands, maybe ten thousands of members. But we are dedicated. And that's the difference. You know, we are God's church. We are with God. We're in His family. And we're dedicated to Him, His life, and His way of work. And that's what it's about. Pick it up here in the last part of verse 8. He kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. My question is why? Verse 10 tells us. Because you have kept my commandments to persevere. Now, the New International Version reads, patiently endure. It goes back to the commandments, the basic laws of God. You know, there are God's people who are enduring and persevering and walking through the open doors that God has opened for them. And they're preaching God's way of life. And we are all part of that. We are all doing this. Whether we realize it or not, the example that we set on a daily basis is a reflection of us preaching God's way of life. And it's really good to keep that in the back of our minds because it does, you know, it can affect how we act and how we talk to people. Let's continue on verse 10 here. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. You know, brother, that time's coming. It's not here yet, but in the end time, the great tribulation, you know, that lies ahead, it's there to test every nation and every person on the face of the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I am come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. You know, we have a knowledge. We have an understanding. And as long as we stay with this, our knowledge and understanding will grow, increase. This is ours. We have it. No one can take it unless we walk away from it. And we don't want to do that. We're warned here not to do it. So, what do we see here? You know, it's very encouraging what we've just read. You know, Christ makes it very clear that right up until the very end, the end of the Great Tribulation actually, goes on through that, that His people will be here, will be serving God, will be serving each other, will be persevering. We have to persevere right to the end. And in doing this, again, we do nothing but grow closer with God. We get stronger in the faith. And that's what it's all about, to get stronger in the faith, to learn more of His ways, and to become His immediate family in His kingdom. And we're on the road. We just have to be patient, persevere. We can do that. Let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation's 12 here. You know, the power of God is being poured out upon all His people to do the work. That shows us God's not through with us. And that's encouraging in itself. If He was through with us, we would all be in a lot of trouble. But He's not through with us. You know, there's a lot yet to do. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of people who still need to hear the truth and be made aware, at least have their options. And God's using us to do that. Revelation 12, we'll start in verses 12 through 14. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the seas, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, to her place, where she is nourished for time, times, and half a time, from the presence of the serpent. And again, we see here that we're talking about, you know, being protected. You know, God is going to protect his people, the ones who diligently obey him, who stay close to him, and who do not fall from his commandments, his Sabbath, his holy days, his way of life. We need to stick, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, stick to the tree, stick to the trunk. And that's what we have to do. We know what the basics are, and we have to understand them and live by them. Let's look at verse 15. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, we won't turn to Revelation 17, but that shows that the floods here, they're talking about our armies. Verse 16. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So one of the positive prophecies we get from this is that there is a place of protection. It's a place of safety. We've talked about this for years, and this is nothing new to us either. Now, we don't necessarily know where it is. There's been a lot of talk about different things. We won't get into all that. But the bottom line is, the Bible tells us that there is a place of safety, and his people will be protected. And that in itself should be encouraging enough for us. Again, we have to have faith to move forward and to go on what God says. And we can do that. You know, the Bible makes it clear that there is a remnant left behind. And they do experience the rage of Satan. And they will be hated and persecuted. You know, obviously some of God's people will be in this mix. But there is also the blessings of protection upon God's people who have endured. And that's really what we have to, you know, focus on. We have to endure. We know the laws. We know the truth. And we have to live by that. And we have to endure on a daily basis. We have to keep God in mind in everything that we do. And as we do this, he promises us his protection. And we know that we can count on all the promises that God gives us. It's also good to be reminded what Christ said in Luke 21, verse 36. You don't have to turn there, but Luke 21, verse 36, I'll read it to you. It says, "Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." God tells us, as was mentioned in the sermonette about prayer, God tells us to pray always that we can be counted worthy to escape what's coming. God doesn't wish for any of us to fall into this trap. And basically, we won't if we make the right choices. But it is up to us. We can choose to obey or we can choose not to obey. But we have to make the right choices. And we will be protected. You know, my thinking, probably like yours, has changed a lot since, you know, the 9/11, you know, the towers there, everything that went with that, you know, the Pentagon, just all of the destruction that happened. It let me believe, or let me come to realization, I guess, that there is a lot to do. You know, we are not ready. God's people need to pull together, and they need to knuckle down and dig deeper and get into the truth and understand it. You know, we've always been taught, this is what the Bible says, prove everything. And that's what we have to do. People can tell us things, but we have to prove it for ourselves. And it is here if we just dig. As we said before, you know, we are a family. You know, not just locally, but nationwide. You know, worldwide. We are a family. We're a family of God's kids, you know, God's children. And we need to support each other. Whatever it takes, you know, a phone call, a card, whatever it takes. We have to support each other because you don't know how much a card in the mail might do for you if you're having a bad day. Nobody knows everybody's life. So you have a bad day, you get home and you get a card, boy, your day just got better. You know that one of your family members is thinking about you, and you're in their prayers and thoughts, and that's great. It's encouraging. But there is a lot to do. There's a lot of work left to do, and we're here to do it. So we can't let up. We have to hold tight and keep going. In the positive prophecies that we've read so far, they're very encouraging, and they're there to encourage us. We can take a lot from that. And we have to realize that, this world, the physical world, is going to get worse. But that just means that we're going to get stronger. And we have to believe that, because the Bible tells us so. We come to understanding, we will get stronger. We'll grow in strength. We don't have to be afraid of the physical world out here. We don't have to have the same fears and worries that they have. Now, it's kind of hard not to sometimes, but that's when we have to draw closer to God. We don't necessarily have to be afraid of dying, the physical life. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to be tortured. But the physical life is just that. It's physical. And as we go through this physical life, we need to hold on to the spiritual promise that God gives us. And as we do this, the physical life, it won't matter. When it's over and done with, it's going to be for a reason. It's going to be because God said, "You're ready. Let's go." And that's great. That's what we look forward to. Let's look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we'll start in verse 22. Matthew 24, verse 22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now that's positive. God put this in there for His people. Probably, when you think back to maybe Abraham, or might go back to even Adam, they probably had no idea in their mind that this physical world was going to get in such a shape that if two nations got mad at each other, the whole world could be wiped out. They probably had no idea that that was even possible. Well, God saw it. He knew it. And He put the scripture in here for us to let us know that if not for the elect's sake, then if we weren't here, then destruction on the world would happen. But because He said for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. He won't allow it to go to that point. Now, as Jafar says, "I won't kill you, but it's amazing what you can live through." But you got to think about that. There is a lot of trouble and trials to come, but we can live through them. We can make it through it with God supporting us, and He is there to support us. Let's go to chapter 24 and verse 12. It says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Or the New International Version says, "The love of most will grow cold." The love of those who know God and once had a love for God will grow cold. And that is a very, very scary situation to be in. We need to be aware of these scriptures and have them in our mind, because we don't want to go down that road. We've probably seen it. We probably know people that their love, for God, and I hate to say it, but their love for God has grown cold. And not necessarily have they turned their back on God, but they've just gotten sidetracked. And you feel sorry for the people. We've got to pray for those people to get them back on track. But it's going to happen. It tells us right here, the love of some will grow cold. Verse 13, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." There's the positive part. All we have to do is endure. Sounds easy. I know it's not. But we can do it. We can do it. Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come." That's what we're going towards. God has asked us to be a part of His family. He has asked us to work for Him, to preach the gospel throughout the world. And when this job is done, then He will come back. Again, this is just the positive parts. And we need to have positives in our lives. And the Bible is full of positives. You know, in talking to people, even though we know that many will grow cold and some will lose their first love, the key is not all will. And that's the positive part. It doesn't have to be that way. And it's up to us whether we submit to that chain of, or that direction of life or not. And we certainly don't want to go that way. We want to hold fast to God's truth and His way of life. You know, think about what Christ told all the churches in Revelation. Over and over, He gave them opportunity to repent. He said, repent and do the first work and get back to the first love. What He was telling them is, it's not over until I say it's over. And it's not over yet. He's told us it's not over yet. When it's over, we'll know it. So as long as we're here, we have the opportunity to repent, to get back into His way of life. We're not kicked out until He comes and says, you're out. He's not told any of us that yet. Again, that's a positive. He says right here in the Scriptures, repent and get back to your first love and do the work. You know, to me, that's very encouraging. I want to be one of these people. I want all of us to be one of these people. And we need to make that our physical lifelong goal and our spiritual lifelong goal. And with God's help, we can do this. There's another positive prophecy I want to look at real quick here. It's in chapter 25 here of Matthew. Matthew 25. Now, most of you will know this set of scriptures too. And you probably think it's just a parable about the 10 virgins. Well, it is. But I want to focus on the positive aspects of this scripture. I want to focus on the 5 wise virgins, not the 5 foolish ones. Matthew 25, we'll start in verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, representing the Bible, which is the word of God, and the lamps unto our feet, you know. And he went out to meet the bridegroom, or they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now we know the bridegroom is Christ here. Verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise. And this is the part I want to focus on. 5 of them were wise. Again, this is a parable that Christ used to teach us his way of life, his truth. Verse 3 here. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Brethren, this is referring to the Holy Spirit. And it's run down within these foolish ones. They lost their zeal. And that's what it means here. You know, the Bible says to rekindle the Holy Spirit in us. To start the flame up again. Don't let it die. And they did, because they were not prepared. They didn't take enough oil with them for the journey. Sometimes we might get a little tired. Maybe we're tired of praying. I hope that doesn't happen. But maybe we get tired of praying, or we get tired of Bible studying. That's when we have to kick ourselves in the rear end and get moving again. We can't let that happen. When that happens, when we start to get tired, then our spiritual life takes a nosedive. And it's much harder to go back up the hill than it is to stay up there and ride and work. You know, it's kind of like a car, you know, running out of gas. If 2 cars are traveling along the top of a mountain, one's tank is full, and the other one, they don't know because they haven't checked it. They're going along just fine, and they start going down the mountain. Then it's a free ride. Everybody's happy. We're going just as fast as we want to go. Well, halfway down the mountain, this car runs out of gas. He don't know it yet because there's no stress put on him. The minute they hit the bottom of the mountain, they go up the other side. The guy, the people who have prayed, have studied, have kept close to God, has their tank full. They shoot right on up the mountain, no problems. The other people, they have a lot of struggle on their hands. Now, it's not to say that Somebody might come along and give them a little bit of gas to get them going again. But at that point in their life, they're struggling. And we can avoid that. Make sure our tanks are full. We can re-energize our batteries, fill our tanks every day. We have it right in front of us. The wise, notice here that we want to talk about. The wise, they took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now, it does say that while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, a cry was heard, and the bridegroom is coming, and they went out to meet him. Verse 7 here. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamp has gone out." So the part I want to emphasize here, as we just used the example of the cars, you know, they weren't prepared. The wise virgins were prepared. They were ready. And you can't always rely on someone else to give you the oil that you need for your lamp. You have to make sure, prepare, know your journey, and get your oil before you leave. Make sure you have enough. And that's what Christ wants us to do. God the Father, that's what they're doing. They're preparing us for the way. Verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go, rather, to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Again, they're telling them they should have been prepared. You can go to the teachers and you can learn. But the point here is, it was too late. They were there. It was time to make a decision. The curtain fell, so to speak, and they didn't know what to do. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And here's the positive part. Those who were ready went with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. That's pretty final. When it's time to be over, it's going to be over. The point is, it's not over yet. And the door's not shut. So we have to make ourselves ready. And we can do that. We have to keep digging, keep studying, keep praying. So the wise, you know, they'll keep oil in their lamps all the time. And that's what we need to follow. We need to keep oil in our lamps, gas in our car. We can't let it down. We have to continue on going for the goal that we know is in front of us, the promises of God. And they're there for us. I want to turn over to Matthew 25 here, read a couple of scriptures here, and look at one other one here. Matthew 25, verses 19 to 23. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came to settle accounts with them. You know, that's when Christ returns. And he's going to... He'll ask all of us to give an account directly to him of the talents that he's given us, what we did with them. You know, our abilities, the skills that we have, how we handle the gifts, basically, that he's given to us. And we're to answer, you know, to him for our account. Verse 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, "Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them." His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You know, this is the statement that we all want to hear when it's time to receive our evaluation, so to speak. Many times, you know, we think as in a local congregation, what can we do? Well, there's any number of things that we can do. We might not all speak, or we might not all song lead or play the piano, but it's like I mentioned before. There's a lot of elderly, a lot of youth. We have a big mixed crowd. We all need encouragement. We all need cards and letters. We all need phone calls. And that is a service. That is a ministry, if you want to call it that. We're helping each other out. We're building each other up. And we're esteeming others higher than ourselves. And that's what it means, you know, to be a Christian. Put others before you and do it in a godly way. And we have this opportunity. And as Christ said here, That's a talent that he's given us, and it's how we develop our talent is what counts. And we're all called into the church at different levels, stages in our lives, and we all have different talents. We have two choices. We can sit there and be dormant and not do anything with the talents that God gives us, like the example in the Bible here, or we can build on these talents. Send cards, send letters, make phone calls, make visits. There's, like I said, there's any number of things that we can do. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to develop these talents. And as we do this, it helps everybody. We all become stronger. Let's look at verse 23. These are the words, again, that we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. That is the evaluation that we want to receive at the evaluation time. That's what we're striving for. And finally, let's look at one more before we start to conclude here. 1 Thessalonians 5. and we'll read verses 4 through 9. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, speaking of the day of the Lord, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5 here. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Think about that as we just read that. We are not of night. We are not of darkness. You know, God's people, and only by the mercy and grace of God, have been called. We've been given a special calling. We've been given an invitation, and it's up to us whether we accept it or not. And once we accept this, then we have to build on it. As we've talked about all through this message here, we have to build on it. We have to build on our talents. We have to grow and develop and become stronger. And as we do this, we realize that we are in the light. We're in God's light. We're examples. We need to be examples, I should say, of Him in everything that we do. The reflection that we give off should reflect God. Verse 5 here again. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Again, it's talking spiritually here. It's very important to renew our spiritual life. We have to recommit ourselves with God, and we have to light that fire. And if it's not lit, light it. But if it is lit, you know, rekindle it a little bit. Get it burning hotter. You know, remember, all of us that's been baptized, we should think back on our baptism and the commitments that we made. You know, the commitments we made were whatever God wants us to do, wherever God wants us to go. You know, we're here for the rest of our lives for God to use us how He wants. And also, when we were baptized, we should remember that we give up our old lives. We threw our lives away. We buried them. Our old plans, our old will, all that's gone. We have a new plan, a new life, a new will, and it's the will of God. And that is what we have to focus on. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, brethren, there's many, many positive prophecies here in the Bible. And they're here to encourage us. God had the plan right from the beginning. He knew what was, what is to come. And He laid this out for us to encourage us in times of trial. He knew that they would be there. He told us all about the positives, positive prophecies that's going to be there for us to build on. And as we do this, we have to remember that they will consider us, the Bible considers us, to be the ones who will be wise. You know, to be the ones who will be strong and will grow in all this. To be the ones who are renewing our dedication to our lives, our godly life, our commitment to God, and be the ones who are on fire for God. We have to renew the love, the first love that we had. We have to gouge it and get it going again and hold tight to the truth. You know, the end is much closer than we think. And every day it gets a little closer. And I think there's a good chance that many of us will live into the coming to see this come to pass. And I just want to encourage all of us that when we think about prophecy, that we need to think positive. When we think about end time, the events that have happened and what's going to happen, think positive. And that doesn't sound right, but from a godly perspective, it is right. And that's what we have to do. He tells us, think positive. You know, we know that there are a lot of bad things to happen, and even to God's people and some of the church members. But the church members can't allow ourselves to become lukewarm. We have to be strong. And as we do this, we will be protected. We're promised the place of protection. You know, we all know the truth. And with this truth, we can get on fire for God. And that's what He wants us to do. He's called us to be a part of this work. And it's a great calling. And it's a great work. And it's a blessing to be a part of it. Be part of this church, you know, which is God's family. But we have to remember that He does give us these positive prophecies to encourage us. There is a chance that we'll get down. We will get down. We're still human. But He gives us these positive prophecies to encourage us, to lift us up. And all we have to do is apply them in our lives. You know, to be a positive Christian and to let God use us in any way that He wants. This will help us bear the fruit that He wants us to bear. And it'll help us to grow in strength, as we said before. And we certainly must remember one last scripture. You don't have to turn to it. But this is what Peter said. It's 2 Peter 1 and verse 10. We need to remember this on a daily basis. It says, "Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall."